Well, hello, lovely humans, and welcome to Engage, a wedding planning podcast for the modern day couple. I'm your host, Jamie Wolfer, and I truly believe that wedding planning does not need to be complicated or time consuming. I kind of picture these episodes like jumping on a quick phone call with your wedding planner. You get your answers and you go on your merry way, because sometimes not all of us have an hour to dedicate to listening to super long podcasts or super long intros. So without further ado, let's just jump right on into it. Well, hello, lovely humans. This week, no, Jamie, you do 2 a week. This episode is all about backyard weddings. The person who submitted this, I think her name's Michelle, asked how to figure out if a backyard wedding is affordable and doable. That's a loaded question, right? Because yes, of course, backyard weddings can be affordable and can be doable. And then other people cannot do a backyard wedding. We've done plenty of successful ones. And then we've had other ones where I'm like, yikes, this was not, this was not the move. Have you guys seen Father of the Bride? I don't know why I'm asking, like, we're having a conversation, because we are having a conversation. Whatever. It's just one-sided. It's just me. If you have not seen Father of the Bride, the first one, you leave this episode right now. Just go. Just, like, just walk away. Go watch it. Please. And thank you. Not only is one of the greatest cinematic masterpieces to ever grace the screen, never. I will die on that hill. I love that movie so much. It is the most relatable. If you have not watched it, now is the time. If you're planning a wedding and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in over my head, go watch this. And you will relate to George Banks so hard. So hard. So that's your homework assignment. If you're going to stick around for this episode, fine, whatever. But then you're going to go watch that later, okay? If you haven't seen it, I'll give you a quick synopsis without ruining it. Basically, his daughter gets engaged. They decide to throw a backyard wedding. He thinks it's going to be this like super cute, low key, turns into something that's absolutely financially out of hand, astronomical. Like they bring in swans. I mean, just ice sculptures, so much. So yes, it's very doable, but yes, it can also get out of hand very quickly. All right. Who's ready to get glammed up for the wedding without breaking the bank? I've gathered up all of my favorite wardrobe, like wedding party attire companies that will fit literally any budget. So if you are looking to find one that works for you and all of your besties, head on over to weddingpartylooks.com. So I have a couple videos, I think two over on my channel where we talk about like a lot of logistics, but so I don't know why I said that. You can go check those out if you want to, because I think it'll just supplement what I'm saying here. But you're already here, so you don't need to leave yet. You can leave for George Banks, but you can't leave for my videos. What you really need to do is be realistic about the limitations of the space. You have to assess it with the eye. I was going to say like a venue owner. This is no longer a yard. This is like how much physical space you have. There was one backyard wedding that we did that like, I was walking in, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to work. And it was crammed. I mean, we're talking like typical suburban backyard, really, really, really not that big. And they had, I think, 120 guests. And I would have not recommended anything over like 75, 80. So they had a situation where they had their ceremony. The cocktail hour was on the front lawn. What a concept. What a concept. Again, like this is a track home. Like this is not like I live on like 2.25 acres now, nowhere close. I don't know size. I was just shocked that they were doing it. We were doing our best to help them. I digress. So they went out front for that. And then they had the flip in the backyard. A flip is where you take it from one activity and flip or shuffle it to the next. And this required bringing in servers or attendants, which was an added cost because they didn't want family members or friends to do it. And that's not something that our staff could have done because we only have 2 people at a wedding. And we just, for what, 130? What did I say? Something like that. For that many guests, there's absolutely no way that we could have done that flip. So that was an added cost. Yeah, they had like down the side yard on one side, they put the photo booth. Like where they store their trash cans. I think they moved the trash cans for the event. I don't think they were there, but so many things to take into consideration. And that one was a lot. I mean, they got married and they enjoyed themselves, but as far from like a guest perspective, it felt way more like a flop. If it is a poor guest experience, they leave early. So if they're not enjoying themselves, if they're uncomfortable, if they're hot, if they're not fed, or if they're like crammed in like sardines. It just is, I don't know what the psychological thing is behind it. People will leave early. And in my opinion, if you're paying thousands of dollars for an event to have people come enjoy it with you, you want them to stay and eke as much out of that as possible instead of just like leaving the second they can because they're over it. Oh, and the police were called. The police were called. We told them, we're like, hey, go around to all the neighbors. And I think I said this in one of my YouTube videos. I'm like, and peddle around cookies like you're a Girl Scout trying to pay her way through college. Like, you just go to everybody and you're like, hi, we're having a wedding. Please don't get mad at us. Thank you. We plan to end on this time. So like, if you hear loud music, it will be done by this time. There will be extra cars parked on the road. Just go tell people, okay? Just go talk to them. They did not do that, and the cops were called. So now that I've sufficiently scared you with a backyard wedding, I will say that that is one of multiple backyard weddings that we've done. And that was the only one that I felt like was, yikes, not a success. We have done many others that really and truly were. So let's talk through some of the things that you should do to make sure that you are creating a great space for your guests to come in, and that it's actually doable. As far as the affordability of it is concerned, we'll also walk through some of those additional costs and what those could look like. You are going to want to have a rental company come out and take a look at the property. 100%. Come out, walk the space with you, because they will see with their eyes, because they are spatially gifted in a way that the Lord knows I'm not. And they will see how many tables and or chairs you could probably fit in a certain area. They'll see how much you can cram in, what you can do. And they will pay attention to stuff like how level the ground is. Because you may look at your backyard and think like, that's awesome. I've got so much space. It's totally great. And then they come out and they're like, there's so many dips and ravines that no table is going to be flat. Or half the tables are going to be like all topsy-turvy. So if you can have a representative from a rental company come out, do it, do it, do it. Have that, do that first before you make any other commitments, because you don't know if your backyard is viable for something like this. You know, are you going to have to remove your gate to get stuff in? Which is fine. It's actually super doable. I don't know why that thought stressed me out. We had to remove our gate at our last house for some reason. My husband's like, babe, it's super easy. You put it right back on. You want the eye of a professional in this. This is not where you want to mess around and be like, it's going to be fine. No, ask somebody. Secondary to that, bathrooms. Just, oh, and facilities, like kitchen facilities and stuff. I cannot recommend enough that you do not let people go inside. That you don't let people go inside. It, like, if this is your home or your parents' home or a friend's home, like, it could get super messy super quick. If you have 80 people using one toilet, like, first of all, that's not enough. That's not enough. You need one bathroom for every 30 to 50 people. If you have 80 people, you need at least two bathrooms. All right. So that could mean one downstairs and people traipsing upstairs through the entire master suite to the bathroom up there. I don't know. It gets messy and it sounds like, oh, we'll just do this. No, it gets messy real quick. So facilities like that, are you renting a trailer for restrooms? Those can easily be, you know, $800 to $1,000 depending on what you're getting. If you're getting something slightly bougier than a porta potty, which, I mean, you do you. If you want to do a porta potty to cut costs, that's great. Your guests are probably not going to love that. But maybe it'll give like festival vibes, you know, maybe you have a Coachella theme, it's fine. Kitchen, if you are serving a meal, which 9 times out of 10, you are at a wedding, a common house kitchen is not going to be enough to sustain something like an event of this magnitude. So I would recommend something along the lines of drop catering or a food truck. Drop catering is where it's prepared offsite and then brought in, already done, and then like they literally just drop it. You can choose whether or not you want to have service staff for that to pour or serve or scoop or whatever. Or a food truck can be parked outside your house and they can either serve it buffet style or send the guests out to go place their orders there. Random aside on this one, please, please, please make sure you ask the food truck how long it will take them to serve your guests, because most food trucks are not typically, if they haven't done like any sort of catering or a wedding or something of this size, food trucks can take 15 minutes to deliver your meal in a typical circumstance. At a wedding, no. You do not want them taking 15 minutes for each and every person. We actually had that happen at a wedding where they had a food truck come out. They said they had done wedding catering before and it took them 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours for like 115 guests. Absolutely uncalled for, like no way. So ask ahead of time, make sure that they're not reliant on your kitchen or your mom's kitchen or whatever the house is, that it can be independent of the building itself. Next up, power. electricity. You probably haven't had a whole lot of DJs, you know, jamming out in this backyard before. So you're not quite sure the level of power that's being required. Maybe the food truck person like needs to plug into something. You've brought in string lights. There's all of these additional things. You know, the DJ brought disco ball, which 10 out of 10 recommend. Disco balls are always a good call. But you need to make sure that you have enough so you don't lose power. Asking your different vendors what sort of level of power they require. Is that what that's called? Why am I even going into this if I'm going to sound like an absolute idiot? You got to talk to them about how much power they need or how much power they're going to draw using their miscellaneous machinery that needs to be plugged in. And then confirm that you have that amount of power in said location. This may be another circumstance where you have to tap on the shoulder of a professional, have an electrician come out to confirm that you have enough power. How many times can I say power in 90 seconds? Someone count and let me know. Yeah, that's a professional. Talk to them. Most typically a photo booth company, a DJ, and a catering company, they'll know what sort of power that they would need to draw from the building, so they'll be able to communicate that to you. If they're like, I don't know, they'll ask them politely to figure it out so you can make sure you have sufficient power. Listen, wedding budgets suck. They're just like the actual worst. And the hardest part for me is that weddings are not cookie cutter. They're not one size fits all. And I think it's important to make sure that you're budgeting according to your priorities. Build a budget that works with your vision and you'll be on the path to planning a wedding that you really want. So if you want my recommendations for making your perfect budget for you and your partner, head on over to weddingpriorities.com. Next up, parking. Parking is an absolute nightmare. If you have even 80 guests, we typically consider one car for every two people, generally speaking, because that could mean that like a family of five shows up in one car, but, you know, four people drive by themselves because they're coming solo or whatever. And then you have to account for all of your vendors. If you have a catering staff, you can't expect all of them to carpool. Parking is a massive, massive issue when it comes to backyard weddings. Totally doable, totally plausible. But again, Girl Scout trying to pay her way through college. Let your neighbors know that you are going to be having an event, because that's like, if they can't park in their typical spot, that's going to infuriate a lot of people, right? Like, say, let's say they park in front of their house, but Uncle Harry's parked there instead. You're going to want to prepare all of your neighbors for this as well, because you don't want cars getting towed. You don't want anyone getting mad. And you actually may not even have enough space. There's a backyard wedding that we're helping out with that literally there is no space. There is no space for all of these cars to be parking. It's just not plausible. So what they're going to have to do is they're parking them off site down the road at I don't know if it's a church or a grocery store that we settled on, but they're going to park there and then use golf carts to shuttle people back and forth. This brings a whole new issue to the forefront though of like, that's a lot of time. So my guess is immediately off the cuff, we're probably going to be starting late on this event, because shuttling even 50 people with a golf cart is going to take a while. That's another thing to take into account. All of these things being said, the backyard is free. Free night is free. Like, unless your mom's charging you to use it, which to each his own, right? These additional things that we're talking about, having a rental company come out, typically they don't charge for a consultation like that. Having an electrician come out, I'm sure there's going to be some, like a charge associated with that. The bathrooms and kitchen build out, if you have to do something like that, those can add up. That can be a couple grand. Parking most likely will not cost you anything unless you need to be transporting people, shuttling people, which then adds a cost and a scheduling disadvantage. And then neighbors, as long as you've notified them of what's happening, we really don't want the cops being called on your wedding. Like, we really don't want the cops being called on your wedding day. It's such a buzzkill. It is such a buzzkill. It's very affordable. Now, again, Father of the Bride, don't forget your homework. You need to go watch that. It can get out of hand if you are not minding your P's and Q's. I don't even know if that's the right way of using that phrase, but we're using it here. If you are not mindful of where you're spending, of course, everything can get expensive. Everything can get out of hand. But seeing as a lot of venues, especially professional venues, start out at like, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars. Like, unless you're doing something inexpensive, like a local community center. That's what my husband and I did. I think we spent like $800-$900, less than a grand on our venue. There are definitely some inexpensive options out there, and those already came with bathrooms and a bunch of other amenities that we didn't have to worry about, but it saves you a lot. There's also a lot of benefit of being able to customize it and do as many DIYs as you want to, which can kind of be a bad thing. There's another podcast, either we've already released it or should be coming out soon, like how much DIY is too much DIY. You should go listen to that. because the limit does exist. It's also a great excuse to, like, spruce up your landscape if you want to. It's sentimental. It's, you know, maybe the backyard you grew up in is now the backyard that you're becoming a married person. Like, you just, there's so many sweet elements to this. You can take your time with setup. You can take your time with teardown. You also probably have to do the setup, and you probably have to do the teardown. I think the last disadvantage of it is you can't escape it unless it's your mom's house, right? Or a friend's house where you're like, bye. If it's your own backyard, you can't get away from it, which, I mean, like, is good and bad. Like, it's good because it's accessible. It's bad because it's, like, always, always there. And it will be more complicated and it will take more time. But like I always say, guys, you either spend the time or you spend the money. So if you don't have the money and you got the elbow grease, it may be a really, really great option for you. I know I've spent at least 2/3 of this podcast bemoaning how difficult and the things that you need to think of. But honestly, if you check those things off the list, backyard weddings are beautiful. They're so sentimental. They're so sweet. They're unlike any other event. No one is going to have the same wedding that you will. No one, unless you have a sibling and they jack your idea. Rude. So that's what we have for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, as always, go leave me a review. Let me know your thoughts. Where are you having your wedding? But that's like a weird thing to leave in a review. You could do that if you want to, though. Oh, go watch Father of the Bride right now. If you have work, skip it. It's not worth it. You need to go watch Father of the Bride. And until next time, bye, guys. If you are struggling with wedding planning and you have questions and you just need someone to listen and to chat with, come join us in the Masterplan community over at themasterplanwed.com. I would love to have you in there. Thanks so much for listening. If you haven't done so already, subscribe, jump on over to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave a 5-star review so we can let the podcast people know that Jamie knows what she's talking about sometimes. And until next time, bye, guys.